Sandra, thank you for always giving this possibility to open the mind and have the thoughts flow out. And this time I would like to talk about something which I've been resolving last week, and suddenly a lot fell in place, and that is about the perspective of the psychopath, the sociopath, the narcissist. As you know, I've been looking at this for quite a while. Angelica Schroth had already introduced this in the Science of Life conference right at the start. And so we have to look at the psychopath. We have to understand them, because they destroy society, and we don't even see it, we don't even know it, we don't understand it. But it is harming us all, and if we don't have some view on it, it will destruct us, destroy us. And so last week I had a conversation with Henk Kooi. We were talking about the psychopath and how they are in a way locked in into an old trauma and get locked into the emotional state of that trauma. But as a result, they operate from that trauma. And there were two things that Henk said which sort of made it possible to shift into the opposite point of view and in a way experience or look at what a psychopath is living or where they're living from. The first principle was that there is a mirroring taking place, and the other is that they experience a part and not the whole. And so in today's exploration, I would like to unfold that so that it connects to, on the one hand, the experience or the kind of life of the psychopath, the narcissist and the sociopath included, and also that, in fact, we all experience that. In talking about this, I will be using thoughts and developments which I have already explored and expressed before, specifically those of Wettico and those of the subpersonalities. So let me start with that perspective. They're all based on hidden trauma, from the hidden trauma which is denied and thus is invisible and thus is unconscious. People go into reflex behavior called subpersonalities. These subpersonalities we can compare to hell and devils. And then we can see that people can trigger that from the one to the other. And then we can also make the transition into this life experience of the psychopath, that they actually live in that hell and look at reality from that hell, look at others from that hell. And the purgatory charge, emotional charge, which is associated with it. And that then helps understand why they are so quick at detecting the unresolved issues of others, for the simple reason that by resonance, that is where they are. That is what they operate. That's where they operate from. And then with that understanding, it is also clear to see that when the psychopaths connect to this hell of others, that the others cannot understand it, because that's precisely the part that they have denied and repressed. So they suddenly feel that something in them is triggered, but they don't know what it is, because they have denied it, they have suppressed it, repressed it. And so part of them is suddenly put in motion, the devils are loose, so to say, but they don't know what to do with it, they don't know how to do anything with it. And that then leads to the conclusion that the psychopath and the sociopath are triggering our unresolved issues within us, which happens all the time, but with them it suddenly becomes noticeable because they can immediately focus on it. And then the solution is evident, because if we can then resolve our own unresolved issues within us, then the psychopath can no longer trigger us, but the technique or the technology that we use to resolve our own issue is what they need to resolve theirs too. So that's where I would like to start then, that based on what I've already spoken about of the unresolved issues, the trauma caches within us, and the way the psychopath and subpersonalities are locked into that, then we can start by understanding what happens when the psychopath becomes a psychopath. And basically that I started to understand when I remembered an experience of somebody I know who as a child went to a new school in a new country and as a young boy was beaten up by, let's say, the school bully. And instead of being submissive to that, this young boy decided to hit back and beat up the bully. And as the old saying has it, never be afraid to bully a bully because they are cowards and they will flee. So in this case too, the bully, having beaten up, immediately became submissive, and the one who was beaten up became best friends with the bully because now both of them were bully. And what I realized from that is that the one who was beaten up stepped into the world of the bully, became a bully, and from that time on, having created this successful pattern of how to deal with a bully, used that as a general telescope, focus, microscope for interacting with the environment. So, let's say a normal boy suddenly had become a bully. And then, of course, that has two consequences. First of all, the bully, having been bullied by somebody who has now been converted to become a bully as well, can no longer do his bully game, so he then becomes best friend. He submits to the other bully. They sort of have this mutual pact that bullying doesn't work for them, so best friends is a solution. And both of them are locked up in this small reality where bullying is a successful strategy. To put it differently, both of them at some point had the full scope of whatever they can live with and do available for them, but then some situation invited them to explore this bullying protocol. They step into it and let's call it a Stockholm syndrome. They assimilate that pattern which the other proposes. They step into it and that becomes the new normal for them. It defines, let's call it, a great reset for them. And I'm using these terms of the great reset and the new normal with careful intent, because the people who have orchestrated this whole COVID hoax, an attack on humanity, they have introduced this terminology because they are aware that if you use trauma-based mind control, then you can force people in a more limited reality. And I've already spoken of the work of Fritz Springmeier, who in his book on undetectable trauma-based mind control describes how people are then locked into a traumatic memory and act from that traumatic memory, but they don't know it. And in elaborate trauma-based mind control, people are inflicted into multiple traumatic memory caches, so they have many traumatic memories stored in their body, in their system. And as any memory and as any reflex, they have been created by four principles, and they can be reactivated by four principles. So there's always an intent. There is then an activity. There is then an effect on the environment and an effect on the body. So when the body is pressured into that effect, that traumatic memory will reactivate. And people who do massage or hypnosis will know that. That at the moment that the body is pressured at some point and that memory is reactivated, suddenly there will be this inflamed kind of response from that subpersonality, because that memory associated with that creation stored in that specific place in the body is reactivated. That's also why I call that, using the old terminology, as the devil breaking loose from hell, from behind purgatory, because the traumatic memory cache is then hell. The emotional charge used to repress the memory is called purgatory. It has a very precise emotional state. And Eastern and Far Eastern medicine is very well aware of that. They know that anger, fear, despondency, idioticity, or bliss or false bliss are examples of emotions which are then the cloak behind which these false memories or traumatic memories are hidden. So, having discussed that already before, I could then look further and realize that what happened was that this young boy, having beaten up, having become a bully, suddenly had stepped into this smaller reality and, let's say, actively stepped into this traumatic memory and made that traumatic memory his home. So whatever happened was looked at from that little niche of if things go wrong, you beat people up. And other people would have a different niche. If things go wrong, you start to cry. If things go wrong, you withdraw. If things go wrong, you start to laugh as if it is funny. If things go wrong, you rationalize it, and so on. But the most important realization was that I had to look into what happens when somebody identifies with the problem and becomes absorbed in the problem and then starts to live that problem as if it is a solution, or better said, as if it is a general solution instead of it just being a local solution. Then the behavior takes place from that sore spot, from that denied spot, from that pain point of the traumatic memory. So they stepped into the hell, but they also stepped into that emotional charge field surrounding that hell. And once I had made that flip, based on what Henk Coy said of, on the one hand, there is this mirroring taking place. On the other hand, there is this focusing on a part instead of the whole which takes place. And once I realized that, I could see that that is precisely how the story of Narcissus describes it. There is this young lad who evidently has been pained, but he doesn't want to look at it. So he doesn't want to see echo, he doesn't want to listen to the past of what has happened. There is that denial of things taking place in the past, echo with the advances of the, which is the nymph, which is, say, the memory of self-reflection, or self-reflecting on memory, is denied by the narcissist, by Narcissus. And as a result, it is not possible to look back at these traumatic memories. I say, at that time, the tiger chased me and I had to escape into the tree and my body is still shaking anytime I think of a tiger. If that memory is reinvoked, then the lesson learned from that memory is that yes, there was the tiger. Yes, the tree was the escape. And looking back, I can also now see that there might be other ways of escape. Instead of climbing in a tree, I can also unfold a cage around me and then protect myself from the tiger. Or I can put the cage around the tiger and protect everybody from the tiger. Or I can put the tiger in the cage and then bring it to where it needs to be. So it's that reflection on the traumatic memory, which then creates an abundance of solutions. And in that way, humanity has been able to invent bridges, invent boats, build tunnels, move mountains. But if people do not do that, that traumatic memory just stays there, stays stuck, and every time something happens that is related to it, will reactivate it. So Narcissus doesn't look at that, and as a result, there's this general denial of the past, a kind of living in the present, but then everything in the present is looked from that little prison of hell, with that traumatic charge field around it. And as Chinese medicine, as Indian medicine says, all of these emotions digest our experiences in the same way that digest our food. All of them have their characteristic frequency. Let's call it the hormone of the endocrine gland, which regulates that system. So we have that whole cycle of the organs, which together maintain the quality of the blood. In Greek antiquity, they called that the gods of the Olympus. In India, they called it the deities, which in the Far East is actually described as the emotional qualities of the organs, with their specific color and their tone and their sound and their other characteristics, which are then attributed to the deities. But the deities are not something out there, but it is simply the process which takes place in that specific organ. So with that understanding, all of these organs have their qualities, all of them have their specific relationship to the blood cycle. The blood cycle is then mercury, or the blood, the integrative factor. The blood is the liquid organ which connects all the organs. It is itself not an organ, but it is. It is and a transformative organ, and it is a transportive organ. So it has this combination of yin and yang. And all of the organs, all of the gods of Olympus contribute to that, and each of the gods has its specific position in this Möbius loop, where the internal food chain is connected to the external food chain. Some of the organs are more internal, some of the organs are more external, some of these deities are more internal, some of these deities are more external. All of them have their specific quality, and at the moment that people lock into a traumatic memory, which is associated with being stuck in any one of these deities or any one of these organs, if there has been a problem in digesting the experience, then that relationship to the world around us got stuck, and that disrupts that disrupts the way we relate to our environment and to others. So when people step into this traumatic memory, they act from there. So the bully suddenly becomes a bully and looks at everybody from the bully perspective, which is a limited perspective, because it's not all of the organs together forming the great Mount Olympus, the blood circulation and the maintenance of the body. But instead, it is a survival strategy which takes preponderance over all of the other organs, at the exclusion of the other organs often. So it is the first strategy that kicks in. So the bully, whenever things go wrong, will respond in an aggressive way. And as the book of the Celestine Prophecy, working with the information of Carl Gustav Jung and others, Ken Wilber also elaborated that. System theory actually is the foundation, the better description for that. Then there are four main types of response. The conniver, the pleaser type, the bully, and the aloof. The conniver in the head, conscious. The pleaser type, subconscious, in the heart. The bully in the hara, unconscious. and the aloof, out of conscious in the holy bone, they are the first response to what happens. And in shamanism, there is this realization that people have two preferred response types, let's say the emergency protocols, which hide the other two response types. So that would be called, for example, the intellectual emotional, or the intellectual motor, or the intellectual passive. Because then the first responder is listed together with the second system that would kick in. And so, for example, if you have the emotional emotive response, have people who think about it and respond with feeling, but they do that because their hara and their holy bone are weakened. They need to be protected. And so instead of all four of the principles being able to respond together, they time slice them, and first comes the one and then the other. So when people are hurt, they get locked into one of these preferred responses, be it the conniver, thinking for others, preemptively anticipating what they will think, and in a way think for them. Priests and politicians tend to do that. The pleaser type, they will preempt what other people feel or need, the smothering, because then they will make sure that the others doesn't become angry or dissatisfied and lashes out, because they don't know how to deal with that. The bully basically lashes out before the other can do that, making the other smaller, castrating or clipping the horns or cutting the wings off the other, so that as a bully they can maintain control over the situation, which they can also do by manipulating the environment, limiting the space that people can go. So the politicians saying, okay, now everybody has to go in lockup, they have to stay at home. A typical bullying strategy. Or the aloof, which essentially is that whatever you do will be considered to be wrong until it is proven to be so otherwise. That's the opposite of the Napoleonic law that you are innocent unless proven guilty, and you need to be proven guilty. So the aloof people turn it around, say you're guilty, and it doesn't much matter what you think about it, because as did the Inquisition, as did the whole COVID hoax team, you're considered to be sick and a cause of the disease of others because they say so. So with these kind of aggressive defensive patterns, when people get locked into them, then we can look at what happened. So I'm shifting to the next stage of the story now. First I had to recapitulate what the reflexes are. Then I had to specify the four main kind of defensive patterns which we have, so that I can now zoom in on that example I started with of the bully who became a bully. And now we can understand that it also is the pleaser type who became the pleaser type, or the alcoholic who became the alcoholic, or the raped one who became the rapist. At some point, when somebody is forced into an unlivable situation, but they have to live with it, then the only way they can survive it is by stepping into that trauma space and live from there. That's what trauma-based mind control elaborates. And what I realized is that in that transition, had the healthy boy becoming the bully, by the Stockholm syndrome, identifying with the misbehavior, becoming a misbehavior themselves, they take on that new normal, they do a reset, Because they step in from the reality as a whole into the limited reality. They step from heaven into hell by, in a way, a conscious, unconscious choice. They feel it as a survival need. And once they get locked in, they don't know how to get out. So what I'm proposing now is that because they don't know how to get out, their attack on others can best be regarded as a cry for help, triggering the same problem in the other so that the other can solve it for them and as a result can solve it for the bully or the one living in hell too. And there are a couple of thoughts that I would like to put in place before I then go into this subjective experience of the traumatized individual. Because, in fact, there are so many ways of monitoring these locked-in traumatic areas that it is surprising that this has not been systematically researched and explored and put into practice. When somebody doing shiatsu or another type of massage works with the body of somebody, then there are these pressure points or pain points where suddenly the emotions are released. Many of these body workers are aware of that. So they know that, okay, it takes 2 minutes. The people have to be reminded that they need to breathe because they need to be prevented from being absorbed into the traumatic memory. Let's call it the hell. And be aware that they are replaying a memory. It is not real. They survived it. And so that by living through it, they can realize that it is a memory and it is not now, it is not here, it is not real. The problem with most of these people who have subpersonalities is when they switch into the subpersonality, the subpersonality acts as if it is real. It is an action replay. And if you did not know that you were watching an action replay, it could seem as if it is the real thing. But it is not. Because in the real thing, everything around it changes and continues. And in the action replay, it is just locked up in a little box, say on a DVD or in a memory slot. And in our body, it's the same. It's locked in a memory slot and it doesn't change. So when people go into that memory, for them it feels real, it is as if real, and they don't know it is not real. And had this movie Vanilla Sky is about that. When people get locked in the memory, they experience it as real. People can be locked into a dream, they experience it as if real. And when a masseur has been pressuring that point where the memory was stored so that it can discharge, and I look at it in pus accumulated in the body, pressure it, and it can discharge. While it is discharging, you will see it, you will feel it. You will have that action replay of that memory. But by breathing next to it, it can be realized to be a memory, and then it is let go. So in that experience, it has a couple of components. First of all, people are not aware that they have a traumatic memory because it's locked in the body. Secondly, at the moment it is triggered, it is reactivated. Thirdly, in the reactivation, it can be released, which takes 2 minutes of breathing and letting go. And the fourth is once it is released, it no longer can be triggered. So if this works for the people who are being massaged, then this must also work for the people who live in their little hell and are locked into their sociopath, psychopath, narcissistic or artistic lock-in syndrome, memory lock. I'd like to add a couple of other examples of detecting these abscesses, these traumatic caches with this, as is this psychic pus around this splinter in the memory. because Marty Wuttke realized that in neurofeedback, when you measure the brain activity using the neurofeedback technique, you can then find that there are areas where the brain wave frequencies are too high or too low. The four body levels, body, mind, soul, and spirit, are there regarded as the beta, alpha, theta, and delta brain waves, which are basically beta associated with the perception of the environment, alpha with the perception of the body as a whole, theta the perception of the organ level and the way we digest our reality and our food, our experience and our memory, and delta the cellular experience, also coma and death and deep sleep. So when people have excessive frequencies out in one of those ranges, then that means that part of their mind, the beta, the conscious, alpha, the subconscious, theta, the unconscious, delta, the out of conscious, something is happening at one of those levels out of proportion with what the rest of the body or the brain is doing. So by giving the feedback, by having the body, the brain, being activated at that specific brainwave frequency level, the awareness is restored that this excessive internal unconscious behavior is taking place, as a result of which the memory can be released. That is also what homeopathy does. The homeopath realizes that somebody is in a compensative behavior, doing something more or less than would normally be the case. They know information substances which show the body what that specific more or less is doing. So in the same way as with the neurofeedback, there is the biofeedback into the body, as a result of which the body then knows, oh, this is still going on. Now I can become aware of it, and now I can digest it. To have another example, there have been measurements done also in what Marty Wuttke was doing, and what Persik was doing, and what Pribram was doing. So a lot of people have been looking at the brainwave EMG, functional electromagnetic graphic imaging of the brain, and they could find that there were areas in the brain which were overactive or underactive, same as what was described for the neurofeedback. And then in the brain image, those areas can be found, the relation between those areas and the body and body memory can be found, in part with neurology, in part with Chinese and Indian healthcare, because they understand the reflex zones. And as Yukio Omura showed, that if you want to intensify the blood circulation to a specific organ, then you simply massage the corresponding reflex zone, as a result of which the body focuses on that. So in that way, it is possible to have the body focus on these, say, the holes in the Emmentaler cheese, or these trauma zones stored in the brain, which the functional MRI can then detect. Sorry, I said EMG. The EMG does it in the body muscle system. The EEG does it in the brain measurements, as is used in neurofeedback, and the functional MRI looks for the activity in the anatomy. So like the galvanic skin response, all of them are electromagnetic indicator of the bioelectric activity and the disturbances in it. I'd like to connect that detection of the, say, the holes in the Emmentaler cheese in the brain, because what happens in the brain is the counterpart of what happens in the body. If you look at the work of Jaap van der Waal, and you see that the brain, the head, is actually the core of the body, which has, as if by an imaginary hand, taken out and taken outside of the body and turned around. So that's why the neurons left and right cross over. And then you can see that the brain is the, say, the calabas of the sitar, the echo of the body turned inside out, so that the brain and the body are still one, but what we see as the organs in the body, we see as different brain components in the head. And between the two are the vocal cords, the throat, the connection between the head and the body. And Soma Fox, created by Henk Kooi, uses the voice as the means for detection for what's not functioning in the body as a whole. Sherry Edwards, Thomas Thies, many other people have been detecting the sound and the gaps in the sound frequencies to thereby be able to find out what part of the body is not integrated to the rest of the body. In a way, it can be imagined as a puzzle of which some of the pieces have been moved out or made loose or moved out a bit or moved out altogether or turned over. And these bits of the turned over bits is where we can then see that the psychopath and the sociopath are functioning. So if you look on the puzzle side, now you can see that there's these blind spots where you cannot see the picture of the puzzle because it has been turned over. That is the places where people would have their denials. And if you turn the puzzle as a whole the other way around, or if you have that puzzle on a glass plate and you look from the other side of the glass plate from the bottom, then you see that everything is a white puzzle except some of the pieces where things have been filled in. So the picture which I've come up with now is that the people who have been bullied into becoming a bully, the people who have been become locked in their psychotraumatic regions, they basically look at the puzzle from the other side, and they see these little bits of the puzzle, and for them that is the whole puzzle, because they do not see the rest. For them, the rest has become a blind spot. In the same way as the people looking at the puzzle from the top, they can see the whole of the puzzle except for the blind spot. And Henk Kooi, for example, when he does his sound diagnostics, he makes sounds around the body, and a bit like sonar or radar, he can then detect where things are dense or where things are slippery or where things are loose or where things are missing. So in a way, he has a holographic perception of the body, and by the sound that he uses, he then can detect where those missing pieces are. As I've described, there are many other techniques who can do the same. Thomas Thies used a microphone, and Henk uses sound, and the Oberon technologies and the Indigo technologies are actually the same. They do what Henk does, except that they use electromagnetic frequencies. Gennadiev Shipov used torsion fields, so he used vortex fields, and have them bounce back off the body as a whole. And then within a fraction of a second, he could know where frequencies had been reversed. And as a result of the relationship between frequencies and molecules, molecules and metabolomic cycles, metabolomic cycles and specific organs, organs and the blood flow and the body. It is then possible to, within a fraction of a second, know in which part of the body something is not working right. Something has been reversed. The frequency is not matching. So with Henk Thoma Fox, he then, in the throat area, detects via the vocal cords where something is not functioning well in the body, and then is able to zoom in on that, same as a masseur pushes on the body to have the pus of the unresolved trauma come out. So having spoken about this method of detection, I can now go to the method of correction, but I'd just like to round off this part of the method of detection, because with all that is known, the many technologies which exist for detecting the blind spots, it is inexcusable that this is not available. All of these techniques can be combined, and as I mentioned to others, just imagine that this technique is applied, and that when you look on a television screen, look at, say, the politicians talking about all the promises that they make, and then with this detection technique, you can see where within them they are doing their self-denial. You can see within them where they are lying. And so you can, let's say, see as a black spot, the black hole in their soul, that part which they have been denying, and from which they are acting. So people would not want to interact with those people. And if you walk around and you would have glasses, say a kind of X-ray glasses, by which you can detect what goes on in the other, in the same way that Gennady Shipov or the Oberon or the Indigo devices scan people, then you know with this individual there's something not right, there's something lacking. You're looking at the puzzle and you see the whole picture, but there are pieces missing. And you know that if they are acting from those missing pieces, they will do the opposite of what they say. And in a way, people are now often using this word conspiracy. But when people have their own blind spots, when people have their own denials, they are in an internal conspiracy. And when other people have these blind spots and they have these denials, and they act from their denial or they act from their internal conspiracy, they're conspiring against you. They don't know it. But if people don't see their own blind spots and can't resolve it, which is basically what the Western culture has been pushed into, then they can also not help others. So what I'm talking about now is that with this insight, that yes, we can see the puzzle and we can see where the pieces are loose or halfway out or missing or turned over, then we can zoom in on those blind spots on the one side, but we can also understand what happens when people have been pushed over to the other side. And that's actually a kind of word use that people often have started to use more often, going to the dark side, going to the other side. Essentially, this has been known in magic and the transition from white magic to black magic. White magic is where you do things which work well for the universe as a whole. Black magic is where you do things for your own unresolved issues. And once you step into that dark side, it is as if you go to the other side of that puzzle and now are connected to this vision that everything is a blank slate. Everything is unknown, except for those small pieces where you identify with the trauma which you have experienced. So that is where I would like to take the conversation now. and take this exploration into what happens on that other side, what happens when people have stepped into their dark hole, then that's also where I suddenly realized that that is why they can see the pain points of others so quickly. And that is why they become leaders or dominant in relationships or in groups or in humanity, for the simple reason that by their pain point, by their little hell, it operates by a frequency which is associated with the head, which is conscious, the heart, which is subconscious, the hara, which is unconscious, or the holy bone, which is out of conscious. And when they operate at that frequency, that's the frequency from which they look. So when they're operating from a pain in their heart, in a way, the same as Henk does using his sound to scan for the frequencies in what happens in others, their pain in their heart is their frequency by which they resonate into the pain frequency in the heart of others. And as a result, that's the narcissistic component, the heart, the subconscious, they are then able to manipulate the relationship, because anytime the relationship doesn't go the way they want it, because they live in pain, they live in a restricted confinement of their little hell. And so whenever things don't go their way, from their puberistic behavior, they try to manipulate the other and kick their pain spot so that the other is brought into that limitation reality which the narcissist is living themselves. And I've had interaction with narcissists, with a couple of them. I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized that they often brought up topics as if they were an issue, and whenever I went into it and showed that it was not an issue, they brought up a different topic. They were not trying to have a conversation going, but they're just trying to distract me from interacting with the issue which was going on, because from where they were looking at it, from their limited hell perspective, they could not see that there was a larger framework in which this could easily be resolved, because them being stuck in their little prison, they couldn't see that solution, they couldn't access it. From their side of the picture, they only saw the little piece that was turned over. They didn't see the rest of the picture because it was a blank for them. So whenever it went in that blank area, they sort of needed to shoot something to distract my attention back to where they were. And I was fooled by that. Simply, I didn't learn before how this worked. And I was distracted. And instead of saying, this has nothing to do with the issue, I'm actually not playing this game. I'm not a dog where you can throw balls and have me run around the block. Actually, something needs to be resolved, and if you do not resolve it now, I will need to resolve it for you, because I need to resolve it for me, and either you're part of the solution or you're not part of the solution, and that solves it too. That would be the solution for the situation, but later I realized that that's not a solution for them being locked in their hell. So what I've come to realize from what Henk said, these people live in their limited reality, and for them everything is reversed, it is mirrored, which is precisely the story of Narcissus looking at the pond and drowning in his reflection. Basically, Narcissus turned things around so that it fits Narcissus, and that has nothing to do with anybody else. But when anybody else sort of steps into their pain point or becomes part of their reality, then they will project it on the other. In previous explorations, I have already talked about the narcissist. When they have their incorporated enemy, at that time I described it as, it is as if their aura, which is this sphere around them, has been hurt by somebody outside. A niche has been hit into their aura, so it bumps from outside in. And like a niche of the church, there's not a saint but a devil standing there, because it's the individual who threatened them or by whom they felt threatened. On the inside, they do not see, from the inside, they do not see what's happening. But once they release that memory of that individual being a threat, they can push back that part of the memory which was reserved for storing that trauma, and they can reclaim that space for themselves. So I now see that it is the same here. When people look at their trauma point, there is this mirroring taking place. Left becomes right, right becomes left, but actually right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right. It is good to beat up somebody because it is good for survival. And what fails is that what happened in that specific instance is not generally valid. That specific small memory pretends that it is the whole story. That piece of the puzzle is looked at as if it is the puzzle as a whole. Because people are into that lock-in syndrome, that's actually a medical description of people who have full sensory awareness and sensory perception, but the neural system which connects that to communication is interrupted. So people cannot communicate, but they experience everything, locked-in syndrome. So the people who are locked in their hell are in this locked-in syndrome as well. Plus they have this Stockholm syndrome. So they live in their little reality and hold that to be true. And now I can come to what it looks like from their perspective. From their perspective, that specific memory episode, small as it was, the action replay of that moment, is the reality that they have. In the television series Lucifer, they beautifully represent that the punishment in hell is that people come to relive their unresolved traumatic experiences again and again and again. So these narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths are actually living in that kind of experience. They live in their little hell, but they look like other people. So we need a detection system, and we need to be able to acknowledge that they are not just the only ones who have that. We all have that. For them, it is a reality that they are stuck in. And previously, I described that as the subpersonalities who become active and dominant. From their perspective, it's not the subpersonality who becomes active and dominant. For them, it's their reality, because they have shrunk their reality to that specific replayed experience. So they're replaying their hell again and again and again, and they project it on others. And if the culprit who created that is not there, then anybody will do. So they will project it on others and keep on projecting until somebody responds from their pain point. And then that reflex can play itself out, the reflex of the other plays back, and they can get locked into this, what we now know, Vetico interaction loop. Both of them have been reduced to a reflex reality. And as I mentioned in one of the previous recordings, that's where the wars come from. The individual unresolved issue becomes played out between people, two people. Others get involved, and at some point the whole society gets involved because they don't look into what is this emotion that I'm dealing with? Why do I feel that I have to get emotional about living on earth with other people? Why do I feel that I need to disagree with other people who, like me, are trying to live and survive on this planet? What is it in me that I'm not seeing that these other people are right too? If the opposite is true too, then what I believe must be false too. So there is something wrong in what I believe, something what the so-called enemy believes. So what is it that we both see but can't get the whole picture of? And then the Vetico reflex to reflex interaction stops, and the limited knowledge can revert back to learning. So that brings me back to these psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, autists in a way as well. It's just that other people are less bothered by their being locked in. All of them have their blind spots, but we all have that. So if we can resolve our own blind spot, then we can help the psychopath, the sociopath, the narcissist to help their blind spot as well. If we can accept that we deny the blind spot by not wanting to see it, then we must also accept that when somebody gets stuck in that what we don't want to see, it becomes visible for us because it is visible for them, because for them it's the only thing that they see. So that, for me, was the fundamental conclusion and realization that came out of that conversation with Hank Coy last week, that the psychopath, the narcissist, sociopath, they have actually stepped into their unresolved issues. They, let's say, for survival reasons, did a great reset. They became their own enemy by becoming the friend of their enemy. And as a result, they went from one side of the boundary to the other. As the saying has it, as the word use has it, they turned to the dark side. But as a result, they live from there. When they look from there, that what they live, that action replay, is being played out in their memory all the time, because that's a little piece of the puzzle from which they look. And the charge field around that, the emotional charge field around that, which is not the full range of all of the organs with their frequencies, but it's just one sliver of it. When all of the organs work together, all of their, let's say, the colors of the spectrum, like in a Newton prism, the rainbow in its totality becomes white light. All of the colors are there. But in their experience of reality, not all of the colors are there. Those colors which have to do with that specific state that they are in, say the red anger of the bully, is the color that they see. From that color they look. Just like Hank Coy uses a specific tone frequency to find the blind spots or the blocked spots in somebody else, in the same way that the whales have the whale song to see the underground landscape, in the same way that the bats have their beeps to see the landscape around them and the insects in it. There we have a general principle which we need to turn on, where we can look at the hologram of somebody's being by dynamically scanning frequencies and then seeing what is dysfunctional. And then we can see that the psychopath, the wounded people, they look from a limited sliver of all of those frequencies. And from that perspective, they resonate with the anger, the fear, the feeling of being lost, the feeling of being right, the feeling of the false identity, and so on, which they live in. And they bounce that out, and it bounces back from the others. It is as if they look at the world with pink glasses, actually red glasses, raging red glasses on their nose. And whatever corresponds with that, that they see. The same as with this picture of the puzzle seen from the bottom, there is this immense white landscape which they don't see. There's the little bits that they do see, and from these little bits they look with a charge associated to their specific traumatic memory, and they see that in others. I was always puzzled, why can these people manipulate others so easily? How come they can unthinkingly, immediately trigger people in their emotional responses? Narcissists are very quick at doing that. They have the love bombing and the hate blasting. Simply they look at where people are traumatized, because that's the first thing that they see. They push that button and they get that response because the other still can be triggered in that sore spot. But if the other realizes that they have been triggered, if they realize that the reflex took over, if they realize that they have denied all of that, if they realize that they can no longer deny it, but they must look at their sore spot, then in looking into their sore spot, the same way as the masseur pressing on the pus of the psychic trauma stored in the body, they can release it, and in releasing it, the psychopath can no longer trigger them. But by releasing that sore spot, they do exactly the same process as that psychopath needs to get out of that deadlock into their little hell, so that their traumatic memory replay can be realized to be a traumatic memory replay. It's just a piece of the puzzle. They can turn it over, turn over a new leaf, so to say, but then they see that what they experienced, the traumatic bit, fits into everything else that they also experienced but no longer were aware of because they were focused on the traumatic perception. And that by releasing the traumatic charge on it, they are no longer focused on hate and eliciting hate in others, because that's the frequency that they feed on, the traumatic, the narcissistic fuel, as it is called. And then they can be free from that. So, actually, I was quite happy that I realized that I needed to change into the perspective of the psychopath. I needed to step into their little prison and look from their little prison. And then I could see that evidently they see a very limited reality, and they see it from an emotional charge. And as a result, they activate that emotional charge in others, and they see the limited realities, the blind spots, the sore spots in others. And in that sense, these psychopaths are our detection device on what we need to resolve within them, within us. We can only resolve it in us, but as remote healing works and as hands-on healing works, if we resolve it in ourselves, then that same process helps them to resolve it within them too. So I was really happy that that insight fell in place last week. And I'm really happy that I was now able to speak it out, because in my mind, it's the same as in psychic healing. If a psychic healing can accept in him or herself what the other does not accept within or herself, then that blind spot is accepted in the healer. The healer then digests it and integrates it. But by doing that, that what the other has not accepted in themselves knows it has been accepted. It knows it is being transformed. It knows it has been transformed. So it knows it can be released. And that is what in remote healing then happens, that this traumatic memory in the other, having been digested in the healer, has been rotated around. Let's say the piece of the puzzle has been turned the other way around so that it fits in the puzzle again, or can fit in the puzzle again. It takes a while. Then, in the same way, by me having told the story now, in a way that has been done for everybody. So we can now create an instrument which can detect the sore spots in people. We now have an instrument, a philosophy, and a theory, an understanding by which we can find the sore spots in ourselves. We now have a method of releasing ourselves from the hidden parts in ourselves, but by doing so, we can no longer be triggered by the psychopaths. So when a president steps up and says, no, we are all going, as Simple Simon says, we are now all going to go in lockdown, we are going to do a little play prison game at home, then everybody else says, no, I don't think so. This is not my game. You're not pressing my buttons. I'm not responding. This Vetico is not for me. Actually, I don't think you should be talking like that. Actually, I don't think you should be a politician. You should not have a microphone while you're talking like that. Why don't you come over to our therapy session? We help you resolve of this internal trauma which you're speaking from. because actually it's unhealthy for you. And as you think it should be healthy for us, you're working in an inside out, upside down, reversed perception. Actually, if you look at the story of Narcissus, that described it all already. So you, Narcissus, cannot be a politician. Come back home, let's fix it, so that we can all be free from it. Evidently, one of these issues which comes along with that is that, which is quite crucial, it's not just about the denial and the inversion, but the other part is also that it takes place at another level of consciousness. So we need to realize that we need to navigate these four levels of consciousness. If we have a thought in our head, we can most often find it, but if we deny it, we cannot. Other people will need to help us with that. One hand washing the other makes all of them clean. If people have a blockage in their heart, they work from the wrong perspective. They work from the little prison at the heart level and then manipulate the relationships. If it has been locked into their hara, then they work at the group level, at the level of unconscious. If it's locked even deeper in the denial in the out of conscious, that's where they then interact with the communicative level of humanity. So it's not just enough that we need to understand that they live in their little prison with their little emotional charges. We need to realize that we do that too, because we cannot help them. Once we can help ourselves, we can help them. But we can only do that if we realize that it is at different levels of consciousness, so that this, say, television screen, which shows the blind spot of people, also needs to indicate at which level it is. Is it at the head level, the heart level, the hara level, the holy bone level? It's conscious, subconscious, unconscious, or out of conscious. And then how do we navigate that? How can we resolve that? And those are the recording sessions which we did already on the different levels of consciousness. So, thank you. I'm very happy that all of these ideas now fell in place, that the psychopath is actually just somebody like us who got locked into the blind spot. In us, we simply deny it, and in them, they are living it. And as we are all humans in humanity, when they get stuck in hell, we need to get the hell in us unstuck, and then we can resolve this. So I'm happy that this fell in place, because that means that we can now resolve Vetico. We can get rid of this narcissist, psychopath, sociopath problem, because their problem is actually our problem. In their system, we can see it amplified for the simple reason that we have let it go that far in us. We deny that they're us too. We are all humans in humanity. We are humanity. And once we realize that that's the case, we need to fix us, because we cannot fix others. We cannot fix humanity. But when we fix us, the body of humanity is healed. So I'll just leave it at that for now. And thank you so much, because it's really wonderful that all fell in place.